is nerding out about The Mandalorian. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Yep. It sure is.
This is the way.
That's what I just said.
This is the way.
All right, we get it.
This is the way.
Guys,
this is the way.
Can we just start the f***ing podcast? The phenomenon is on, and the Nerdin' Out crew is taking full advantage of it. The Nerdin' Out Mandalorian Season 2 Watch.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Welcome, everybody. It's an all-new Nerdin' Out Mandalorian Season 2 Watch Podcast. We Chapter 12 today, The Siege. We're missing Cameron today.
Oh, no.
Because he no longer cares about us. is that wrong?
That's word for word what he said.
Like, is that incorrect?
That's incorrect.
Really? I thought he told me to F off.
Yeah. On his way out, he was like, I have to go attend to the fact that I no longer like you guys.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I got out of
Bye,
it.
Bye, Cameron.
But Randy's here.
Hi.
He cares. Courtney's here. She cares.
Yep.
And I'm Ravy. You can follow us on Nerdin' Out LA on Facebook and Twitter, Nerdin' Out on Instagram. We will talk about this episode in a second, The Siege. But it's another week and another controversy where The Mandalorian is confirmed.
Oh, no.
Confirmed and concerned. Boobgate.
It's unfortunate that all this is having to happen.
Yeah.
Boob armor gate. I think people just kind of posted, Oh, look at Bo-Katan's armor. It's
got boobs.
Tailored for the ladies.
Yeah.
And the Star Wars trolls, as they're apt to do, just kind of like took control of the entire narrative.
But I don't get it because
this,
women have boobs.
Well, this,
there needs to be a little give in the armor.
This whole thing is that because the freaking Power Rangers a few years ago, remember when the,
that was atrocious though,
because the female Power Rangers had like those high heeled shoes, like
oh,
boots,
yeah,
as opposed to regular boots
and the huge cans.
Yeah.
And so, dumb cans.
Yeah, dumb like stupid cans. Like, oh, it's extra protection. Okay. But, you know, this kind of just comes with the territory. The more popular the show got, was going to get, like,
yeah,
mm-hmm, more people who aren't familiar with Star Wars and the universe were going to tune in. So,
if anybody had seen Bo-Katan on the Clone Wars or Rebels in her animated form, that's how her armor is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an exact replica.
Yeah, but then why they draw her like that? Why they have to draw her with boobs? Well, like, because she's a lady. Because
she's all voluptuous all of a sudden? She's a freaking warrior! Boobs. Boobs in the armor. And then they're like, well, the armorer chick, mm-hmm, from season one, no boobs on that armor.
Oh. So why?
How do you respond to that? Boobs. How do you respond to that?
They realized their mistake, so they added boobs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. As a woman, I don't care. Well, I feel like it's not like a feminist thing.
Well, because it started off with the boob armor, and then from the boob armor, it transitioned into the criticisms of the helmets, because they said that even the female helmets,
a little more tailored,
yeah, had a little bit more tailored. They were slimmer. They had, mm-hmm, they were accented in a certain way that kind of gave off a, like, this is sort of pandering or whatever. But my big thing though is that you can tell by all these posts that the people complaining aren't familiar with the animated series,
mm-hmm, right,
or anything regarding Star Wars lore.
Or they're just assholes.
They are.
I'm going to go with just assholes.
They are.
They have nothing better to do. It's incredible to me how Star Wars, boy, that is a fandom that will just take Star Wars down. Is that even a fandom? Is that just people who were just hate for hate's sake, want to cause trouble for trouble's sake?
I don't know. I picture angry fanboys when I think of, like, Star Wars diehard fans. I know this sounds awful because we're all Star Wars fans, but I just think of, like, the angry, nitpicky, this isn't the real Star Wars guys out there.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, think about, you know, Kelly Tran, who got so much. She's had to go off social media. Daisy Ridley, she had to go off social media. Mm-hmm. Because Star Wars fans are dicks all of a sudden. But are they fans? I question their fandom. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm questioning
really
their
point.
Fandom because they're not putting the product out there.
I mean,
if you don't like it,
don't
deal with it.
Two things also. Number one, we talked about this in Primer announced that the reason why a lot of people are bitching and moaning is because they're locked up, cooped up. They have nothing to bitch and moan about.
Yeah.
Now they're finding stuff to complain about. And then number two, when you look at it aesthetically, the people making the decisions for the show, Like, they're following the Star Wars lore to a T. The people constructing these costumes, the majority of them probably aren't as invested into Star Wars as, say, like, Filoni and all that stuff. So
sure.
When they're given, like, here's the
schematics.
Model.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what else are they going to do? They're going to follow it to a T. I mean, no one was complaining about the animated show.
Yeah.
Why would someone complain about the live action rendition of it?
That's a good point. They're looking at the animated show where she was drawn like that. That's what her armor looked like. And they're making it like that.
If you're working in the prop department making costumes, you're going to follow this to a T because it's beloved. Everyone likes it. And you don't want to be on the opposing end of a hateful rant tweet about, hey, way to mess that up.
But, I guess, damned if they do, damned if they don't, because they're already still on the end of all that hate.
But it's like, shut up already.
Yeah.
That's the issue. That's my issue with social media.
No one's...
Like, why?
I can't wait to hear the anger.
No one's depressing women in The Mandalorian. Yeah. I feel like every female role in the show also presents itself as really badass.
Right.
It's really cool.
But now I wonder if you're an actress... Is it even worth taking a role in Star Wars these days?
I wonder though.
Like, are you kidding?
Even actresses because of the turds. Like, do you even pay attention to it? Well, I do know we do have history of actors and actresses getting off of social media because of stuff like this.
Right.
But I feel like at this point, like, do you really even bother? Like, even bother checking out or looking at it, you know?
Because, I mean, the majority are fans and they love it and they're way into it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let a few turds in the punch bowl ruin it. With boob gate all of a sudden.
Here's a comment in defense of the post. Like, you're right. Armor should totally be manufactured exclusively to fit a male body, and women should just cram uncomfortably into it. Because denying our own body contours to achieve a male-inspired standard is somehow consistent with feminist ideals. And there are rebuttals to people like who actually wear armor for recreational purposes.
Sure.
But it's just an ongoing battle that'll never end. And really, the reality is this really the biggest thing we have to preoccupy ourselves with?
Yes. No?
Apparently
yes.
It's so silly.
So dumb. Silly. So dumb.
Boob gate.
Just watch the goddamn show.
I can't wait to talk about whatever gate comes out of this week's episode, The Siege. Some kind of gate,
I have a prediction as to what gate will be.
All right, what's the gate?
Child labor.
Child labor gate?
Child labor gate. Starts off first scene, child labor gate.
Oh, I see. You're not wrong, Randy.
Which, by the way, spoiler alert's coming up.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. I forgot to put it out there. There are extreme spoilers coming at you. We're going to play some audio. We're going to talk about everything. There was a massive bomb dropped. It was something we kind of sort of figured, but got some hardcore evidence that it is, in fact, happening. Spoilers coming at you. Is that good enough?
Yep, we're good.
Are we covered?
Let's go. Sweet.
The lawyer and the team says yes. So the Razor Crest, where we left it, limping along, barely getting through space, and the child labor Randy's referring to, is he put Baby Yoda in this like little, where all these wires are.
Yeah.
Only Baby Yoda could fit in there.
A rat's nest of cables.
And is trying to explain to him red from blue and don't touch them together.
That was the funniest opening. I loved it. Child labor.
I think also interesting, we should say right at the top, Carl Weathers directed this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think kind of when you pull other directors in, like a Carl Weathers, like a Bryce Dallas Howard, there's going to be more humorous moments maybe than not. Like when Dave Filoni directs next week, I'm not expecting as many cutesy moments.
It's going to be a little more serious.
Yeah. Well, don't you feel that?
Yeah.
So Carl is directing this. So yes, it starts off with a very... cutesy red wire, blue wire. He touches them. He electrocutes himself a bit.
Yeah. Some smoke.
He didn't pass out. I thought, uh-oh. Like, I thought he was going to be in a little bit more trouble than he was. But some soup, and it's all good.
That was so cute.
Now, Din Djarin kind of picked his helmet up a little bit so he could enjoy some soup as well.
Yeah, we saw his chin.
I know.
Question, is that Pedro Pascal's chin?
Yes,
or is it the stunt guy?
I think it's Pedro's chin, but I do like how they subtly like drop that little tidbit there. A question that I've always had: like, does he take his helmet off to eat food or drink stuff?
Oh my god!
Saw him in the one episode from last year where he did take it off, but he was by himself,
right?
And we didn't see who it was. Was it Pedro Pascal in that scene?
I'm gonna go with yes. Otherwise, what's the point of hiring him?
But why do you think he won't take his helmet off in front of the child? Or do you think just in that situation?
That's a great question. I don't know, because they're a clan of two. You're allowed to take your helmet off in front of your clan.
He says he can't go anywhere without the child. unless he normally wouldn't take it off to drink something like that. But even then, I would imagine, hey, just take it off to enjoy whatever you're eating. But
I know, right?
Well, I don't know.
He's really diehard.
Totally. It's a cult. Mm-hmm. Bo-Katan said it was. So, Navarro, we're heading back there. He barely lands that thing. Runs into his old buddies, Grief Corps and Cara Dune. And Grief is like, no problem. We're going to get this ship fixed up. We're going to... But, musical cue, you know one of those guys fixing it, Turd.
Yeah, I mean, they gave that one away.
Musical cue, Turd. Dun,
dun, dun. Well, the show always does a really good job of giving away what's coming. It's just more like, what's going to happen. Yeah. Like, before every single episode, it'll be like a flashback to a random episode from season one.
Yeah, so, like, okay. How's this guy going to be brought in back?
Right, right. That's true. But Navarro's in much better shape.
Yeah.
Cara Dune's a marshal, second marshal we've met.
Kicking ass.
There's a nice, you know, food farmer's market out there.
Yeah, it was a farmer's market.
People selling their wares, people feeling safe, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And there's a school set up. Now, this is where it gets silly. I love the school, though. It was super cute.
It was nice.
They're like, we're going to leave Baby Yoda here at school.
Safe.
What?
It's a school with a bunch of children.
Baby Yoda can't tell red from blue. Why is he going to school?
He's going
to
learn. He's going to learn.
Is that going to be a lesson? This is red. This is blue. Because the other kids are way ahead of him.
Yeah.
The other kids are laughing at him. That made me so, I felt so bad for him. They were all giggling and pointing at this poor little.
All the kids appear to be human. So they're probably like, what the hell is this thing?
Right.
This little weird green.
Yeah.
Baby.
That's what I'd be saying if I was in school.
Nah, if they were in the Star Wars universe, they're used to seeing little weird
creatures and stuff.
And creatures and that's for sure. And whatever.
But some little asshole is eating blue cookies.
They look like macarons. Like
blue macaroons. Yeah.
Macarons, that's what it was.
And you know Baby Yoda, he's always hungry. He'd only had that soup.
Fat mm-hmm. boy.
And he was recently electrocuted.
I know.
It makes you hungry. Is this the first time we saw him force anything?
Yes.
In season two, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, he's stealing cookies.
Because he forced those macaroons away from that a-hole.
I'm not going to lie. When the kid said no, I got nervous that he was going to do something else with the force.
Like a force choke.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, you said
I guess
no?
I wasn't sure what he was going to do. I guess force choke wouldn't have been out of this.
Because he wants them cookies.
Realm of possibility.
I'm so expecting him to like lash out. Because and do something sort of like unprovoked or just kind of crazy. Because he probably doesn't even know what he's doing.
Yeah, And I was convinced that the next time he used his force, it was going to be like a big deal. But of course, they led us to think that. Mm-hmm. Sure. And then they're like, ha, he took cookies with
it. He just forced the cookies away.
But it's like small scenes like that
kind
of give the impression that he does know what he's doing. Because he deliberately used the force to get those little cookies away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't just
He knows what he's
doing. I'm going to try to grab these. It was like, I know I'm going to grab these from this kid. When he's not looking.
Yeah, bitch. Good
point. Yeah. Screw you.
So Grief Karga is using Mando's first bounty, that like blue fish dude, mm-hmm. as like his secretary.
Yeah. And the blue fish dude that was brought up in the previously on.
Right.
Yeah.
Played by Horatio Sanz. Welcome back. That was Horatio Sanz in the blue fish suit.
Interesting. I didn't see that at all.
That's one of the fun things about this show too, is that they drop like pretty big actors and actresses around the show. Just
And like put them in costumes.
God,
and
wouldn't you, if you were an actor, if you're like, hey, do you want to be in the background?
That's so much fun.
Yes, I do.
Sign me up.
Yep.
Yeah. So fish guy's, you know, doing clerical work. Mm-hmm. Not happy to see Mando. Says he still can't see out of one eye because of the carbonite. Whatever.
Wah.
Your fault.
Don't be a criminal.
There you go. Don't be a criminal.
Mando gave you the option to go warm or cold. You chose cold.
So Cara and Grief, they want Mando's help. Apparently there's an Imperial base still on Navarro, and they want some help blowing it up.
This base has been here since the Imperial expansion. It's got a skeleton crew, but for some reason it hasn't been abandoned.
There's a lot of heavy weaponry in that place. The Black Bucket would love to dismantle and get their hands on.
And you want to mop up the last of the Imperial force before they do.
Mando, I just want them off my planet. If we could take out that one last base, Navarro would be completely safe. We could be a trade anchor for the entire sector.
And the planet would finally be free.
Indeed. So it's a big thing, like carved right into the side of the mountain.
Yeah, that it was a huge base. Yeah. That was no joke.
But see, like, obviously later in the episode, we find out more as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. But
right.
From the exterior, looking into it, the whole thing is the question that I've had throughout this entire series is what are they doing there? You know,
right? Because, oh yeah,
because we keep seeing signs of them doing things around the galaxy or just random planets or chasing Manda for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what's the end goal? Like, what's the end game here? Like, what are they trying to accomplish or what are they trying to do?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's like even when they're walking into the schoolhouse or no, not the schoolhouse, but they're, when they're talking about what's going on, he mentions the New Republic,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or the whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like it's confusing to me because in my mind it's like, okay, are they trying to just resurrect this dead? The dead empire or what? Like, what are they trying to do here?
Right.
So,
what's the goal?
Yeah.
We find out pretty quickly that this base is not a skeleton crew. It is fully staffed.
Yeah.
There's stormtroopers everywhere. There's scout troopers.
Yeah.
There's Imperial commanders. Like, what the shit?
I know.
So they take, you know, Fish Guy in. Fish Guy was annoying me in this episode.
Yeah, he was being a little bitch.
Pretend that he's not.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they take him around. They got him shooting. They're shooting up stormtroopers because basically the goal is because Navarro's a lava pit mm-hmm. in places, they're going to get the lava to like flow up and blow the thing to shreds.
Right. Right.
So that's the goal. So they're, you know, lots of, this was an action heavy episode.
Yeah, I liked it.
Lots of destruction of stormtroopers, lots of shooting, lots of, I think definitely one of the things I noticed is that the Imperials who are in charge mm-hmm. will take themselves down first.
Yeah.
Like another, like, okay, destroy this information, and then kill on ourselves.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. that's the second time we've encountered something where their only option is...
Yeah, they'd rather die than
get
information.
Right, or face Moth Gideon again. Like, he's that scary to them. That sounds fun. Yes, I'll come work for you. Okay, I will put this cyanide capsule right behind this tooth. Just in case. Sounds great.
I do. Yeah. That's a really good point, actually. It's like, what are my options? Join the Empire and live a miserable existence, or not join the Empire and what?
Live I know,
just
right?
Just be a regular civilian.
Be a regular civilian? Like,
did we not say there was a farmer's market down on Navarro?
Yeah.
And grow some stuff.
Sounds delightful.
Sell it at the farmer's market.
We just came back from a planet where you can fish for stuff. I'd rather be a fisherman than work for the Empire. Everything sounds so miserable about it.
I know. Mm-hmm. I would rather do anything. Then work for the Empire.
I know. But
now, look, shooting, they're getting ready. The thing's going to blow up in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally get some questions answered because all of a sudden they walk into a lab.
I know.
Where there's like effed up like Snokes. They're not Snokes, yeah, but like the same type of deal.
In goo.
They're in goo.
And I was thinking, how frustrating is it the one time they finally reach something like this, they're on a running clock.
I know, right? Mm-hmm.
It's like they can't even stop to really look into it. The place is going to blow up and they got to run out. So
they did end up seeing a hologram of Dr. Pershing.
I highly doubt we'll find a donor with a higher M count, though. I recommend that we suspend all experimentation. I fear that the volunteer will meet the same regrettable fate if we proceed with the transfusion. Unfortunately, we have exhausted our initial supply of blood. The child is small, and I was only able to harvest a limited amount without killing him. If these experiments are to continue as requested, we would again require access to the donor. I will not disappoint you again, Moth Gideon.
See, so Dr. Pershing is scared of Moth Gideon.
Mm-hmm. I won't disappoint you.
But he said, you know, several things there. Number one, M counts.
Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding.
That's- Ladies and gentlemen, we've been thrown back to midichlorians.
I love it. But that's the thing. Like, that's so fun for us to see that. And be like,
yeah.
Oh, that's why they wanted his blood. Oh, that's what they're doing. You know?
So initially when all this transpired, the first thought that I had was, are these supposed to be like clones or bodies for, you know, I don't want to throw it back to the last trilogy you went through, but the same sort of idea where it's like sort of, you know, transitioning someone's being or whatever into a different body or whatever.
Like because he was talking about blood and because he was talking about subjects.
Yeah.
You know, it made me think, okay, like immediately I was taken to, oh, they're trying to do super soldier serum.
Yeah, I thought Captain America, they were trying to inject them, the Jedi blood into these regular, you know, soldiers.
And give them an Jedi. M count.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Moth Gideon would have a huge army of force users.
Okay.
And if you have that many Force users, you will win no problem.
Yeah. Okay, now that
because
makes sense.
The New Republic has Luke.
Because in my head, I'm thinking, I'm you know thinking what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Baby Yoda, the child, is one of those super soldiers that got loose. I'm like, I can't imagine him kind of just parading.
Right. No, I think Baby Yoda is the natural dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they're trying to take his blood and use it to create. Because
that's what they. Yeah, they said in season one, oh, he looks like he was born. You know, he wasn't created.
Right.
Somewhere.
God, now that's. Where's he come from?
It's all coming back to Randy.
Oh, man. I'm just like, every episode, it was funny, before we even started this episode, Cameron was talking about how he thought that this was just going to be like sort of like a filler thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, we find ourselves in the lab, and now I'm just left with an even bigger question mark.
Right.
But it was cool we got some answers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it was feeling like a filler episode. Because
mm-hmm.
If you're Renee Ravy, you want Ahsoka Tano on the canvas.
Absolutely.
There's no Ahsoka Tano on the canvas, but in place of her, a big bomb was dropped. And we're like, okay, all right. Like, we felt that that's kind of what they were doing, that they wanted, you know, they wanted him for some nefarious purpose.
Oh, yeah,
more nefarious than, hey, we're putting his blood into bad guys.
I felt so bad. You know, we took as much blood as we could from the child. Like,
without killing him.
Poor baby.
Now I want to go back and watch like that episode and see like how out of it Baby Yoda is, because he lost like a quarter to half of his blood in his body.
That poor kid.
But we were all like mesmerized as Mando was just shooting all the stormtroopers, shooting all their way out of them. We didn't know if like Baby Yoda was drunk from lack of blood.
That poor kid has been through a hell of a lot.
And then so Mando's like, I got to get to that school, deuces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, they say at the end that clearly they're after the child.
Mm-hmm.
He realizes Moff Gideon's still alive.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, too, because he was operating under, they killed him mm-hmm. last year. Oh, no. He's still with us.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes jetting off to that school. See ya. And then it was the escape of all escapes. It was like a 10-minute escape.
That was a bit much for me, if I'm being completely honest.
Do be honest. Don't lie to me, Courtney.
It was too much. Like, you knew they were going to escape. Well, I guess you didn't know, but you kind of knew they were going to escape. You knew they were going to get away.
Okay, but I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you kind of always think, oh, Greef Karga could be expendable in this scene.
Yeah.
Certainly Fishstick could be.
I thought Fishstick was going to get shot like three times.
Me too.
I'm like, he's not
leaving. See, that was a big surprise.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were rumors that Cardoon's not coming back. You know, this is it for her. So I was like, oh, maybe this is it for her, I guess. But I don't know.
You wouldn't have cared?
Yeah. They had the scout troopers, and then they had the, like, I don't
know. Well, they had the stormtroopers, and then they had the scout troopers, and then they had the TIE fighters.
it's just much.
It was a lot.
It was fun. It was short.
It was exciting. It was 39 minutes.
Not long enough.
That was longer than last week's. Last week's was 35.
I need
4 minutes. That's a lot.
Four minutes of a stupid chase. So we really didn't get an extra 4 minutes.
I know.
I hear you. Look,
I was surprised.
I agree with you.
I was surprised at how quickly we went from a skeleton crew to a base fully loaded with soldiers, speeders, and then TIE fighters. I'm like, wow, this is quite the skeleton crew.
They did their research, clearly.
Next level.
Then brings you to another thing that I was thinking about during the chase scene. And it kind of does actually apply to the whole, like, them doing the research.
Mm-hmm.
So Star Wars itself in this universe is so advanced. And this is something I've always thought about. Why the hell is every reconnaissance map, every single drawing they have, just some crappy hologram as opposed to like real-time pictures or something?
Yeah. You
know? I'm like, or like even in the chase scene when he's trying to shoot the gun in the back, I'm like, that's the best you have? That's what you have?
That's like, a really good point, because she was like, when they were looking at the hologram, she's like, this red area here, that's all you got? This red chunk is the bad area? That's a good point.
You can make a ship teleport essentially from one end of the galaxy to the next, and you can't build a fucking drone to fly overhead and give you real-time images?
This might be the best point Randy's ever made in anything.
I've always thought about this. And you know what it is? It sucks too, because the first Star Wars movies were made back in the 70s, and this is kind of along the same timeline, mm-hmm. and that's what the technology looked like back then. So in order to stay true so to what's mirroring. Going on, yeah. But I'm like, come on. Would it kill them to like, oh, this episode, we also just so happen to make a massive breakthrough in technology. Mm-hmm. Now we can see things in real time.
Wow, that's Randy, everybody. What's up, John Favreau? Improve on it.
We'll write him a letter.
John Comey, let's talk.
Now, as they're ending the chase,
yeah,
they are saved kind of Millennium Falcon style as the Razor mm-hmm. Crest comes shooting in.
That was awesome.
It's all fixed. He's taken out the TIE fighters. Baby Yoda's with him. He's still got his cookies. And he's having a blast like he's on the world's best roller coaster.
His arms up in the
just
air.
Just arms up, just loving it. Spinning, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Of course, Mando saves the day. We got Baby Yoda barf. That was fantastic. That was fantastic. That just was a little blue barf, probably a total of 1.5 cookies, just right on his only clothes.
Oh, yeah, that is, huh?
Is he going to have the blue throw up on his clothes next week?
If he doesn't, I am really going to wonder if he doesn't have a little, there's got to be a little blue fade there or something.
That was so funny.
I love watching the episode and playing a little game in my head, which is, I wonder what scene with Baby Yoda is going to be. A Funko Pop. Like, are we going to get Vomit Baby Yoda? Are we going to get electrician Baby Yoda? Are we going to get Cookie Baby Yoda? I don't know.
If I had to guess, I would say Cookie Baby Yoda.
I think so, too.
With some blue on his only outfit.
Yeah, the electrical wires might be too offensive.
Oh, God. Right. The child labor. Back to where we started today, Randy.
I enjoy this kind of bit of humor, though, in the episode. Stuff like this. Like, that's really, like, him cheering when he's doing all these aerial
movements. I enjoyed it. Like,
so cute.
I'm going to, look, get ready for memes because they're coming at you in a matter of minutes.
I could have done without fish dick or as much fish dick as we got.
I know. Fish dick kind of was like wrecking the episode for me.
Yeah, that's why I was like, fingers crossed.
I'm like, somebody put a bullet in this guy.
Fish dick gets clipped on the way out. Yeah,
stormtroopers, I know you're terrible shots, but just come on. This guy.
Fish dick.
Come on, man.
I mean, no comment, you know, on Horatio Sands. I'm sure you did a great job. You're supposed to be annoying. Congrats.
Yeah.
A plus for acting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So see ya, Baby Yoda and Mando. They're leaving because they've got to get to Corvus. Mission. They've got to go find Ahsoka Tano. Greek files a report with that same X-Wing fighter who helped them out of the spider cave. This poor guy, he's just going around taking reports.
He's like following in Mando's wake, like this son of a bitch.
I know, right? Tries to convince Cara Dune to come work for the New Republic. That was kind of a sad scene.
It was a sad scene. It kind of looked like she thought about it for a little bit.
And she might still be considering
it. Yeah. I think she's thinking about it.
I think so.
And I think maybe this might be a jumping off point to potentially starting more talks about like a show or something down the line.
Oh, a spinoff there.
Yeah, I like that because now she's really thinking about it. Like this opens up a whole new realm of possibility. This is the second episode we've seen.
That X-Wing guy.
These X-Wing policemen.
Right.
And so it's like.
That's what I want the show to be called.
X-Wing police.
X-Wing police.
X-Wing cops.
Yikes.
Getting pulled over.
They could have a funky fun theme song.
Yeah. And everyone just disrespects the hell out
like
of them.
Like a Starsky and Hutch sort of of thing.
Yes.
A Miami Vice X-Wing police thing. I would love that.
Oh, I am on board, Randy.
Not everything in Star Wars has to be serious. We can have some goofy fun.
I am on board for goofy fun like that.
Christmas special?
Like the Christmas special. Exactly.
So we're enjoying goofy fun, but then shit got real serious again. Remember how we said right in the beginning, one of the people who was fixing the ship, musical cue, turd. Mm-hmm. And that turd put a tracker on the Razor Crest.
Moff Gideon. The tracking beacon has been installed on the Razor Crest.
Does he still have the asset?
Yes. Our source confirmed it.
And we will be ready.
Great.
Dun dun.
So now, basically, what they're doing, they're going to be tracking Mando as Mando goes to find Ahsoka.
God damn it.
How thrilled is she going to be? Not only to see Mando coming at her, but the Empire?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, great. Thanks.
The asset. Now, why does he want. Okay, there's clearly other Jedi out there, right?
Luke.
Right. So why is he obsessed with the child? If the child's blood didn't work on the first bunch of times, why does he want the child so badly if he can?
Moff Gideon is in like this room where I swear to God, those are other super soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are super troopers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you will. Mm-hmm. They're super troopers.
He can't pull over any farther.
Yeah. He wants more. I love that. And I mean, I'm sure he figures it's easier to get the blood out of the baby than to go try to track down Luke Skywalker.
I guess.
Not I guess. He's tracking him now.
No, literally tracking him.
He's literally tracking him.
Yeah.
So here we go. Buckle in.
It's about to get bumpy.
Where are we at? 4 more episodes left. We're halfway through.
Now, some cool tidbit I saw online was the trailer before the season started was comprised of footage from the first 4 episodes.
Right. Oh, now we are in the wind.
Yeah. Uncharted territory.
Uncharted territory. Because the last bit that on the trailer that we hadn't seen was the sword chase when the stormtroopers are coming out of the base on the speeders. Right. So that's the last bit. So now it's...
In the wind.
Here we go.
In the wind.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Next episode, episode 5, it will drop on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I was kind of concerned, like, ooh, are they taking a week off? Are they taking a holiday break? No, they're not.
Better not.
Now, the potential super troopers that they're making.
Right.
The ones they're constructing, are we talking like Captain Phasma sort of stuff? Or is that like, are these just something completely different? Like Frankenstein almost. Kind of people.
Well, we didn't get a good enough look. They were these big, black, shiny.
Yeah.
They looked almost like Darth Vaders.
Yeah, they kind of looked. They remind me of like mini Darth Vaders.
I think they were supposed to. That's why when you open the door, there was like the fog.
Can you imagine Ahsoka Tano just minding her business and here comes
Mando. Trying to live her life.
Trying to get away from any small remnant of being a Jedi. Here comes this thing with the Force and now here come a bunch of mini Darth Vaders.
Oh my God.
Fantastic.
Captain Phasma.
Yep.
She didn't have...
She did not have boob armor. She did not.
She didn't have boob armor.
That came up during Boobgate.
Oh, it did?
Captain Phasma. Yeah.
Well, that trilogy was also notoriously like super mega woke. So, I mean... they're probably like, we should probably avoid this.
I thought you were going to say super atomic mega garbage.
Well, that too.
It was not. Stop it.
It had its moments.
It did.
But I don't think anything is like this. Although I will admit, to Courtney's point, with this chase, I was thinking about it a little bit more critically on the couch. And again, before people come after me and start shitting on me for shitting on stuff, I love The Mandalorian. My thing is, though, is right now what kind of seems to be holding everything together is just what is the child? Mm-hmm. And aside from that, like to Courtney's point, like, we're never really worrying about who's going to die in the episode because we're always like, okay, he's going to make his way out of whatever predicament he's in. So it's like, okay, so aside from the child and his identity, like, what else am I going to be
Yeah,
like?
What are the stakes?
Yeah, well, like, what else is at stake? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. Not to take away from the show because the show's awesome.
I'm with you 100%.
Like, but I'm like, I wonder what's going to happen. But I still stand to my point that I said on episode 1, which is I think the child's going to get kidnapped. And then,
you think at some point Moff Gideon will get a hold of him.
Oh, they get separated, and then there'll be an arc where he has to get the child.
Yeah, and I think in that arc, Mando's going to abandon his whole, like, I don't even want to say cultish ways, but his own ways.
Huh.
I don't know. I'm not a gambling person, so.
I like that prediction.
Wow.
It's a good one.
Well, we'll see if any of that comes to fruition next week. Episode 5 on the 27th.
A week.
Directed by Dave Filoni. I know. Come on. Join Binge.
This week felt a little bit longer.
Join Binge. We would have so many more questions and yet so many questions answered if they would just join Binge.
I know.
But then we wouldn't be able to do this.
All right. That's fair enough. I wouldn't be able to see your face every week. And there you go. Oh, my God. Anything else? Well, I don't even know what that is. Oh, there we go. That was from something else.
Camera's not here, guys.
I thought it was the outro. Well... Whatever. We'll fix that in post. No problem. Thank you. Thanks again, everybody, listening to Nerdin' Out. We do have an episode coming up on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
It's called The Leftovers. Not the HBO show, but stories we just haven't discussed for whatever reason.
Right.
Maybe we had a topic and they just didn't fit in. So we're going to discuss some of these stories we haven't talked about. And we have a leftover Nintendo Switch Lite.
Rip.
It's just leftover.
That's my kind of leftover.
So we'll be giving that away next week as well. And then, we'll have another Mandalorian watch. It's all coming at you next week on Nerd Now.
Woo!
Thank you, Randy.
Why does Cameron hate us?
That was Nerding Out with Ravy.
Remember to store this episode in a bag with an acid-free board and put your retainer in when you go sleep. Until next time.